4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5:30, the sun is going down, it's getting late. It's still light outside, but the sun is definitely going down. And Kenalach, this is what Rakayan was waiting for. Rakayan was getting the king nervous on purpose. Rakayan was a smart person. He had a trick. Okay, what was Rakayan doing that day? What was Rakayan doing that day? Why was he coming in the last minute? Let me tell you what he was doing. He was waiting for his chance. He gathered up 1,000 boys from Mitzrayim. And 1,000 boys, he gave each boy a special fancy uniform, a beautiful uniform that Rakayan himself had specially made with the best materials and fancy jewels, and they shined. Then he gave each boy a silver tray, a big silver tray. And some of them had gold trays. And on each tray, Rakayan put presents. He put gifts. On some of the trays, he put jewels. Other of the trays, he put fancy cakes and candies. Other trays had other kinds of presents of silver and gold on them. Or they had beautiful things that were made out of wood or glass, fancy dishes, all kinds of things that a king would like. And then he got the most beautiful horses, 1,000 of them, 1,000 beautiful horses. And then he told the boys, okay, it's time to climb up on your horses. And it's time to take your trays in your hand, your silver and gold trays. And it's time to take the presents and make them, of course, look nice. And some of them had flowers around there. And some of them had beautiful plants on them to make them look even more fancy and schmancy and beautiful. And now, Kenalach, the boys lined up in a straight line, one horse after the other. And now they started riding to the palace. And Rekayoin was in the very back on his horse. Boy, you should see his horse. It was such a horse. You never saw in your life such a horse as Hirokayan's horse. Even the horse was wearing a fancy uniform. I mean, the horse looked even better than the king, if you want to know the truth. It was such a beautiful uniform, and the horse was so fancied up. And Rekayan himself, Kenalach, was wearing the most fancy, schmancy uniform that you ever even imagined in a dream that you had when you were asleep in your pajamas, what a king would look like. And he made himself his own kind of a crown. And next to Rakayan, the king looked like a regular officer or even a guard or even just one of the simple servants. That's what the king looked next to Rakayan. Rakayan was covered with gold and diamonds and jewels and fancy buttons and stripes and purple and green and all kinds of colors. And he was riding in the back. And just as the sun is going down, but it's of course enough light that you should be able to see this whole thing going on, all of a sudden, officers outside the palace, they sounded the special trumpet. Beep, 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 beep. That's the trumpet sound if an important thing is happening outside of the palace. Beep, 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 beep. And the king says, what's happening outside the palace? What's going on? And they said, there's a line of horses with boys with trays. It's shining. It's sparkling. And it's miles long. It's some kind of a parade. We never saw such a thing unless, of course, the king himself makes a fancy parade. Then it's fancy, but this is even fancier. We don't know what's going on. And the king came down from the throne because he wanted to look out the window because he was curious to see what's going on. And he sees this long line, as far as the eye could see down the road, a straight line of these boys with these beautiful clothes on these fancy schmancy horses carry these trays. And they're all now coming in front of the palace. And the king says, go find out, what is this? Go, what's going on? What is this? And the officers ran outside And the king could see that they're asking the boys a question. And then they came running back to tell the king, these boys are carrying presents, and they say the presents are from the king, are for the king. They say that these presents are all for the great king, which is you, of course. And the king says, me? You mean these presents are for me? Who's giving me these presents? Well, go find out. And the boy, they run out, the officers run out to the boys to find out who's giving the presents. And in the meantime, because it's getting so late, the king starts screaming, where is that Rikayon? Where is that Rikayon? I'll have his head. I'll send the executioners after them, after him and his special officers. He's not coming to me. I'm getting very angry. Executioners, sharpen your axes. Get ready. Put on your black uniforms, because pretty soon it's going to be time to go and run after this Rikayon. He's not coming to me. I'm very angry. And then by this time, the officers came back, and they said, king, do you know who's sending you these presents? No, says the king. He must be a pretty... He must be a pretty good man. Whoever is sending me these presents must be a pretty good man. Boy, what presents. And Kinalach, they told the king that before they tell the king who is giving the presents, they would like the boys to be able to be allowed into the palace to give the king the presents themselves. And the king says, of course, let them in, let them in. Let me go on my throne so I get to sit and watch from my throne all the presents that I'm getting. And the boys came in, and they came in front of the king, 1,000 boys. And one of the boys was chosen to speak, king, how do you like your presents? And the king was jumping up and down. Oh, I love it, silver and gold, and all these cakes and cookies and candies, and all of these beautiful things made out of wood and glass, and all the clothes, and all the fancy beckers, and all the fancy things that I could have so much fun with. Oh, it's so wonderful. Now please, tell me who is giving me the presents. And the boy said, one more thing, king. All the horses are also yours. Oh, the king says, I love horses. I love horses. They're so nice, so beautiful. Tell me who's sending me the present. And the boy turns around to all the other boys. Okay, we're going to tell the king on the count of 1, 2, 3. Let's go. 1, 2, and 3. And all the 1,000 boys say, Rikayon sends the king the presents. Rikayon. Now, Kinalach, the king was so excited about the presents. He forgot all about how angry he was at this Rikayon. He forgot all about the money that Rikayon had taken for the taxes in the base of Kfaris and all the tricks that this Rikayon had played on the king and his people. And the king was so excited about all the presents he got, he forgot all about how angry he was, and he said, I want to meet Rikayon. I want to meet this man. I would like to thank him myself. I would like to say thank you to Rikayon myself. Is it possible to see him? And they said to the king, king, if you really want to see Rikayon, we'll call him for you because he's outside. Oh, yes, I want to see Rikayon. I want to meet him. And Kinalach, they brought in now Rikayon. Now Rikayon had his own trumpeters to blow trumpets, and his own fancy guards to roll his own red carpets. And he came through the door, and he rode on his horse into the palace in his fancy, beautiful uniform, and his trumpeters blew the trumpets. Beep, 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 beep. And they rolled out the red carpets, and in comes Rikayon riding on his horse up to the king, and he bows down to the king. And the king says, Rikayon, it's a pleasure to meet you. I love the presents you gave me. I would like, and the king said, I would love to do something for you to say thank you to you after you did so much for me. Can I offer you a bag of gold? Of course, Rikayon laughed. Gold? I'm giving you gold. You should give me back some gold. Would you like some more fancy clothes? And Rakhayan, of course, laughs. Clothes? Look how much fancy clothes I have. You're going to give me more fancy clothes? My closet can't even hold the fancy clothes that I have. Can I give you some horses? That's a joke. I have 1,000 horses, 1,001. You want to give me horses? And the king says, Rakhayan, ask for me a wish, and it will be given to you. Rakhayan says to the king, King, I've always had a dream that I've always wanted to do, and this is what I would like from you. I would like only to be a special officer of the king. That's all I want. I don't want to have to be an officer in the graveyard, or I don't want to have to be some kind of other officer. I would like to be your special officer. That's all I want. That's all I ever wanted. And, of course, if you make me your officer, I would like you to forgive me for what I did with my other officers in the graveyard. It was only because I wanted to see you. And you should also give them jobs. After all, they're my friends. Kinalach, the king was so in a good mood from all of these presents, which the king loved so much. He forgave Rakhayan. He forgave his men. He made all of them his officers. And he took the ring off of his finger and he gave it to Rakhayan and he says, you are going to be my special officer. But one thing I will take away from you as that is your name. I don't want you to have the name anymore, Rakhayan. I think we should change your name. Rakhayan says, what's wrong with my name? Why do you want to change my name? And the king says, because Rakhayan, you know what it means? It means empty. Rakhayan means empty. You're not an empty man. You have a lot of good things about you. I think we should give you another name that means something much better. A name that's more fitting to you. And Rakhayan says, okay, what name would you like to give me? And the king says, well, the name Pirayoin is better. Pirayoin means paying. Paying. Instead of empty, it's paying, like paying money, paying for something. You have something from that. It's much better than Rakhayan, empty. And so Rakhayan got the name Pirayoin. Now, Pirayoin was a little bit long and a little bit hard to say. So later on, for short, they said it instead of Pirayoin, Paroi. Paroi. Now, Kinalach, Officer Paroi worked for Rakhayan. I'm sorry. Officer Paroi worked for the king. And the king got old. And finally, the king was in bed. Very, very old, and he knew he was going to die. And it's time for the king to pick who was going to be the next king. Of course, all the officers wanted to be the next king. And it came time for the king to say who should be the next king. And he gathered around his family and his big generals and his big officers. And he said, the next king is going to be my favorite officer, Paroi. And he chose Paroi to be the next king. And sure enough, when the king died, Paroi became king. And this is how Paroi became the first king. His name was Paroi. Now, Paroi became the king, but later on he said, instead of every king being called king, he's going to be called by my name, Paroi. Paroi will be the name of each king. Paroi this and Paroi that. The first Paroi and the second Paroi. The king of Mitzrayim is going to be called the Paroi of Mitzrayim. And so, Kinalach, this is how the first Paroi came to be the king. And his name was Paroi, and after that, every king of Mitzrayim was named Paroi. He was called Paroi. And there was different Parois. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, like I told you, there was a certain Paroi. He had a certain name. And you know how tall he was? If you stick up your elbow and your pinky up in the air, he was as tall as from your elbow up into your pinky. That's how high he stood. But that was a different Paroi, it seems, than the first Paroi. This is the story of the first Paroi. Now, Kinalach, there's a shul in a faraway place called Belgium. Belgium is a country far away. You ever heard of Belgium? It's in Europe. You heard of Belgium? Okay. Belgium is a faraway country. And over there in Belgium, there's a shul. It's a real shul. And the shul was built by a very rich man, a millionaire, and a big tzaddik. He built the shul, and he is the rav of the shul. And every day, just like every other shul, they have shacharis, and they have mincha, and they have ma'ariv. But their shacharis is very, very interesting, because after the davening, there's a big breakfast that they serve in the back of the shul. They have tables over there, and they have a beautiful big breakfast, delicious things, and the tzaddik himself, the rav of the shul, serves the breakfast himself. Why does he serve the breakfast himself? Because he says this breakfast helps the davening and it helps the learning of Torah. Why? Because if you don't have breakfast, so Tati runs to shul to daven in the morning, and Tati has to go to work. And of course, after davening, a person usually gets hungry. So then they have to run home to have some breakfast. And that takes time, because they have to come to shul, and they have to go back home, then they have to go to work. And it takes time if they have to run home to go to breakfast. Or if they don't have time for breakfast, they get very hungry. By the time they go to work, they're very hungry. And this way, he serves breakfast in shul. What happens? So Tati doesn't have to run back home. He could have breakfast in shul. So then he has more time to daven. Or he has more time to learn. Instead of spending, let's say, 10 minutes to walk home, the extra 10 minutes, what could he do? He could daven a little bit more. He could say a little bit more Tehillim. He could have a shir, learn a little bit of Torah. So the breakfast helps that they should daven nicer and learn Torah. You understand? Well, let's say a Tati knows he has to run home, so he might have to daven faster. The davening is not so nice. Right? So the breakfast is not only a good breakfast and delicious, but it helps the davening and it helps the learning. So Tatis can stay in shul. They don't have to run away. Now, different days, the tzaddik serves different things. He doesn't want to have the same thing every day. Sometimes bagels, and sometimes rolls, and sometimes danishes, and sometimes eggs, and sometimes fish. Did you ever see a special fish called a white fish? Sometimes they have it a bris, or a simcha. It's a whole fishy, and it's delicious. Did you ever have a fish like that? There's different kinds of fish that are good for breakfast, like lox, lox and bagels, or white fish. White fish is usually a small fish, and they serve the whole thing. There's the head, and there's the tail, and there's the middle, okay? And they eat from the fish. Now, if you would have one of these white fish, what would be the best part? The head, the tail, or the middle? Where is all the best fishy to eat? Yes, Yoshua? The head? Well, I don't know if the head has the most to eat. David? The middle, right. The middle, that's the most part of the fish, is the middle, right? The tail is the tail, the head is the head, and the middle has the most fish. Well, a very interesting thing happened. Okay? The men sat down to eat after the davening. And the tzaddik himself likes to serve them, because like Avraham Avinu, when he had the orachim, he himself served the orachim. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, he took care of the zakenim, the chachamim, when they were eating, he took care of them and he served them. And the balabas, it's a mitzvah to take care of your orachim. So what happened? The tzaddik himself loves to serve the breakfast. And this day he served white fish. Each one who davened and sat down to eat breakfast, he got a white fish. And the first man got a whole white fish, beautiful white fish. The second man got a whole beautiful white fish. Each man got a white fish. Then it came a time for one of the men who come to shul. His name is Shmuel. Shmuel davens every day. And all of a sudden, the tzaddik puts down the plate in front of Shmuel, and he sees a very strange thing. The head is there, and the tail is there, but the middle of the fish is gone. There's nothing there. He only got a head and a tail, and the whole middle was gone. Very strange. He looks around. Over here, Yanku got the whole fish with a middle. And over here, Chaim got a whole fish also. And Gershon got a whole fish also. And Velvel got a whole fish also. Only Shmuel got only a head and only a tail. And the middle was missing. Here was the head on this part of the plate. Here was the tail on this part of the plate. And in the whole middle was nothing there. Just the plate was there. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a mistake. But he didn't want to say anything. So he just ate his toast and he drank his coffee and he went to work. Well, the next day, also the tzaddik served white fish. Oh boy, Shmuel thought. It looked so delicious yesterday, but I really didn't get any. I hope today I get white fish. And each one got a whole white fish like yesterday. It came time for the tzaddik to serve Shmuel the white fish. He puts down the plate, and Shmuel sees again the head, the tail, and the middle is missing, only from his plate. Hey, wait a minute. Two times in a row, it must not be an accident. Something is happening over here. Why should this happen? Well, again, he didn't say anything, but he was wondering the whole day why twice it happened. But he still didn't say anything. Well, the next day, again in shul, was a breakfast. Each day was a breakfast. The men sat down after they davened, and after they finished all the inyanim after the davening. And again, a third day, the tzaddik serves white fish for breakfast. Well, nobody complained. It's delicious to have white fish for breakfast. And each one got a beautiful white fish. And it came time for Shmuel's turn. And all of a sudden, he sees a head, a tail, and the whole middle is gone. Well, after three times in a row, he was plotzing. He couldn't keep quiet anymore. He had to ask. He walked over to the tzaddik, to the rabbi of the shul, and very, very politely says, "Excuse me, but I don't understand. Each day, the other men, they get a head, and they get a middle, and a tail, and a whole white fish, and they're eating. But me, I get the head, and I get the tail, and the middle is gone. 1 day, and 2 days, and 3 days. I don't know why is this. It must be happening for a reason. I mean, you're serving the fish. So I just wanted to know, why are you doing this?" And the tzaddik smiled, and he says, "Well, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to teach you a lesson." "What's the lesson?" He says, "Look, what is more important, the davening or the eating? What is more important?" And Shmuel says, "Well, I guess the davening is more important, because why are we eating? We're eating to have koyak, to daven and to learn. So the main thing is the davening. And the eating is only because of the davening. We should have koyak to daven, we should have koyak to learn, we should have koyak to go do mitzvahs. Oh, the tzaddik says, okay. So I was watching the last few days how you daven. I want to see how you daven. I see that the beginning of the davening is very nice. The beginning of the davening, you have the place, and you're saying nicely, and you're not rushing. And I see by the end of the davening, when you're finishing up the davening, you're also saying Aleinu and Altira. But the middle of the davening, I see by you in the middle of the davening, either one day you're rushing very fast, you're going so fast, like, who knows, like the whole middle of the davening is not there. But one day I saw that you were looking out the window and not in your sitter. And another day I saw that you were walking back and forth and looking at things on the walls. And I saw that you were not paying attention to the middle of the davening, as if the middle of the davening was not there. The beginning was there, and the end was there, but the middle, like it wasn't there. So I thought, if the davening is that way, also the eating must be that way. Because since the eating is for the davening, I figure the way you daven is also the way you eat. So that's why when I serve you the fish, I serve you the beginning of the fish, which is the head, because that's for the beginning of the davening. And I served you the end of the fish, which is the tail, which is for the end of the davening. But since by you the middle of the davening is not there, I also left out the middle of the fish. I figure by you, you don't need the middle of the fish. If you don't need the middle of the davening, you don't need the middle of the fish either. And of course, Shmuel realized that he does need the middle of the fish. In fact, that's the main part, the middle of the fish. And so he learned his lesson, not just to daven good in the beginning of the davening, and not just to daven good in the end of the davening, but to daven good all through the davening, even the middle, and not to all of a sudden stop davening. Now, who figured out why today I told this maise in the class?
Because...
What do you think I saw in the davening?
In the beginning, everyone was davening, and in the middle, everyone wasn't davening.
That's right. Not everybody, but I saw all of a sudden a lot of people stopped davening. Moedani was excellent. Anatilis Yidayim and Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshamim were beautiful. And the beginning of the brachas when we stand up, Hanaisin Lasechvi and Malbi Sharamim Shturim Dik, all the way till Hamavir Sheina Me'einoi Usnuma Me'af Apoi was good. Starting by Yehi Ratzon, all of a sudden, a little bit less. Starting over there, Shetatzileinu, Shetargileinu, all of these things, Shetatzileini, less. Birchas HaTorah, a little bit less. Tzatzoeinu, a little bit less. Yivarechcha, a little bit less. And then, in Eilu Dvarim, Shein Lahem Shiur, I saw a lot of boys who were not davening. Either they got tired, or something happened, I don't know what it was. This is already the middle. The middle was missing. So the story teaches us what? That we also have to daven the middle.